technology right away.
It's time for Fed Talk, the live show for Feds in the know. From federal agencies to Capitol Hill, the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth bring in experts from across the federal community to bring you inside the issues. Fed Talk is meant to provide general information about legal issues. However, the views expressed in this program are not intended to provide legal counseling. Listeners are cautioned not to rely upon any statements made in resolving legal issues they may face, but instead to consult with their own attorney about specific situations. Attorneys are not engaged in providing legal services while appearing on the program and are not responsible in any manner for the consequences that may stem directly or indirectly from reliance on any statement made during this program.
Andrew Krzmarsik of GovLoop. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Deborah.
And Amanda Emick of USDA. Amanda is the USDA's Director of Web Communications. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. How are you?
And thank you. I think, Amanda, this is your maiden voyage on our show.
For this episode, yeah, absolutely.
And I think Amanda may have one of the coolest jobs available, right, to the 20-30-year-old set in the federal government. By the end of the show, there'll be many applications, many people trying to angle in and get Amanda's job. But we're going to be talking today for the next 55 minutes with Andrew and Amanda about the use of social media in the federal government, by the federal government, inside the government and between the government and the public. And I almost feel like I might be too old to actually know anything about the topic, but Andrew and Amanda are going to keep us very interested and get us educated and maybe get us old folks a little bit more comfortable with the use of social media. But first, I need to remind our listeners that Fed Talk is brought to you by GEICO, where 15 minutes can save you 15% on car insurance. And of course, if you want more information about GEICO, visit their website. It's at geico.com. For our listeners, if you have questions for Andrew or Amanda, feel free to give us a call toll free 1-877-936-9333, where you can email your question to us at FedTalk, FedTalk@federalnewsradio.com. So we have, Andrew, you're with GovLoop, but for many of our listeners, and followers of some of the things that my law firm does, people might know you, Andrew, from sort of your prior life before you joined GovLoop. Tell us a little bit about your career.
All right. Well, I won't start way back when I was a research apprentice for the USDA. So I actually share that with Amanda. She may not know that story, but
and then she's going to put it on the internet.
So
I was at the graduate school USDA. They're no longer known as the graduate school USDA. It's just graduate school. They had to drop the USDA. But while I was there, I was noticing trends related to some of the proposal writing I was doing. We were seeing a lot of succession planning and need for leadership development, and I looked into that and I learned about generational diversity and this huge shift that could be happening over the next 5 to 10 years with boomers retiring and the next generation coming up and taking their place. Well, the CEO says, hey, you know about the next generation and you're actually part of them. Tell us what they're going to want in terms of technology in our classrooms. And so that's what led me down the wonderful adventure and rabbit hole of social media and government. And so I started just to educate myself, collecting links and things like that. So I started a blog as a repository to share with others, and then just thought I can learn best if I teach. And so started doing a lot of 101 with agencies and at events, and it seemed to be a need at the time, and I think it still is. But that's essentially what led me to meet Steve Ressler and arrive at GovLoop a year ago as the community manager.
And some of our listeners will know that Steve Ressler is also the founder of YGL, Young Government Leaders. And Andrew, you were also very involved in that organization, too. And Steve started GovLoop, didn't he?
He did. He was a Department of Homeland Security employee at the time. This was his 5 to 9 evening weekend hobby. And he thought, hey, you know, I created YGL. It connects people physically, but we need a place that we can connect people virtually, particularly between the meetings, and that's how GovLoop was born.
And Amanda, as I said in your introduction, you probably have really one of the coolest jobs in government. So many people think about, you know, government work, you know, in these categories of bureaucratic tasks. And yet you're the director of web communications for USDA. That's really got to be a fun job. That has to be a lot of fun and not bureaucratic.
I do have a very cool job, I must admit. Just the other week, I was playing games and apps as, you know, part of my gig as we release the winners of the Apps for Healthy Kids Challenge. So any game where you can smash food and play with avatars is fun by me.
And you get paid for it.
Absolutely, all the better. But, yeah, I started in the Food Safety Inspection Service as a press officer. So I had a lot of media interaction and a very consumer-focused agency where we had to get critical information about food safety and all kinds of things to protect public health. And as these new technologies and ways of communicating started to emerge, really thought, you know, this is a great opportunity to reach a new audience who may not be keyed into the newsroom, mm-hmm. or they might not see a recall release that appears in a business section. So it was really a way for us to target messages to very specific segments of the public. And, you know, like many folks, it all started with a Twitter account. We did some research and collected feedback and got really positive response from folks. And it has been, as you mentioned, I am not what many people think stereotypically is, mm-hmm. is a bureaucrat. And I love my job, and I'm young, and I hope that we get more folks. We lost a good one with Steve, but he's doing some other great things. So.
He's sort of connecting to the whole government community in his own way from a different angle. I don't think you could really say he's sort of gone. And during the show, we're obviously going to tell our listeners a lot about GovLoop and what it's doing for people and how to join and what you can contribute. And we're going to find out from Amanda a lot about what USDA's social media programs are, because we sort of feel like we've gotten two of the top know-it-alls, right, on social media in the federal system. And, you know, for old people like me, and I don't sound old, I know that, but I'm old. It's like, what is social media? The word social to me is not anything I connect up to work, right? Like, work is work and social is outside of work. So what has social media got to do with the business of government?
You want to take a shot at that, Amanda, or shall I?
Right? Yeah, who's going to shoot it down?
I'll go for it. So social for us is really a way of engaging and bringing people closer to government. There's this common misconception of, you know, inside the Beltway and being out of touch with the public. And social media for USDA mm-hmm. is a way that we can get closer to citizens and find out more about what issues are most important, you know, by hearing feedback and really being able to listen to the conversations that are happening and see which issues rise to the top can help us better focus our efforts and engage with people in a more accessible and, you know, comfortable way. It's not the suit behind the podium. It's a real voice and a real personality that helps break down what is often a faceless and kind of, lack of personality that many bureaucracies can present.
And Andrew, what's your thought on that?
What's coming to mind for me is if you take the word social off of media and we just say the media, I mean, we all have an image of what that means in our minds, right? And it's really...
And you don't necessarily think government when you think media, do you?
You don't, but you do think, you know, sort of a push medium. I think you think TV and you think newspapers primarily, while radio mm-hmm. Is a two-way channel there. Primarily media has been a one-way push machine, and it's been, you know, you think of journalists, the people reporting on what's going on in government, and they do a great job, you know, government executive and those kinds of magazines, et cetera. You know, they do a great job, but what I love about social media, it's that, and what we're seeing on GovLoop, is that it's about government by government.
Mm.
You know, it's people who are now empowered to blog about their lived experience, and so they become, in a sense, the journalists, but it's really, you know, in a more organic, you know, way that they're telling their story on their terms. And so I think that's what social brings to it now. In terms of citizens, rather than it just being pushed, we've now opened up, you know, opportunities for dialogue in a new way, and really, as Tim O'Reilly puts it, you know, creating a platform for citizens really to, in some ways, help themselves beyond the time and energy of government employees.
And Andrew, I want to follow up with you on the first point you made about, you know, sort of inside the government officials talking to each other about government. And my follow-up question is going to be to you, why do we care? Why do we need it? But we have to take our first break, Andrew, so you have some time to think about that. We're going to take our first break. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now, a word from our good friends at GEICO, where you could save 15% on car insurance. By now, you've no doubt seen those car insurance commercials with the talking gecko on TV. He's always talking about how people could save 15% or more switching to GEICO. Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal in and of itself. But get this. If you're an employee of the federal government, you may be eligible to save even more than that. That's something the Gecko didn't mention in all those commercials. And you've probably heard many times about how many people have switched to Geico. Millions. But what you might not know is how many people stay with Geico once they've switched. In fact, on average, Geico customers who are federal employees have stayed with the company for over 20 years. Now that's customer satisfaction. Sound like a good deal to you? Then just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or go online to geico.com and find out how much you could save.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Deborah Roth. I'm hosting a show this morning on social media in the government, and I have probably two of the top two people in government or around government who know anything about social media. We have Andrew Kurzmarzik of GovLoop. He used to be at the USDA grad school. I'm sorry, Andrew, I have to say it that way. And Amanda Emick. She's the director of web communications at USDA. Everybody who's listening wants her job. So, Andrew, you heard my question back to you right before the break. So you say that part of social media is, I think that's a very interesting point you make, that instead of other people reporting on what the government's doing or having a discussion of what the government's doing, these are actually government officials, government employees talking amongst themselves about what they do. And so I say, why does it matter? Why does it matter to the business of government that they have a platform to talk to each other? Because this isn't just any employer. This is the largest single employer in the world. Federal employees, the executive branch is about 1.9 million employees. It is the largest single employer, and it is one of the most powerful governments on the planet. Why does it matter that they need a way to all talk to each other?
Well, I think the original problem that Steve was trying to address, in addition to creating a social platform, this is really a knowledge network. We say social network, but it's a knowledge network. And this is knowledge media, and I know that Chris Dorbeck on the Dorbeck Insider is going to be exploring the learning aspect behind this. But I think that's really the key to all of this, is that where was there a place before? I mean, there's OMB Max and other internal channels in government, but where was there in government a place where federal, state, and local could come to one central spot, ask questions, and get those answered? My favorite recent example is Bill Brantley at OPM had a question about geographic information systems. And he asked it in the U.S. Geological Survey group on GovLoop. And 9 minutes later, some guy from a county in Illinois responds to his question with exactly what he needed. And that kind of thing happens every single day, 10 to 20 times, on GovLoop.
That's amazing.
That's
I have to tell you, in preparation for the show, I was talking with our programming staff in my office, and I was like, you know, I have a hard time wrapping my brain around why inside, because that's part, you know, Amanda, part of what you do, or most, a lot of what you do, is that other thing, which I think is a phenomenal development in our society, is the access to enormous amounts of information that the government has and having public access to it. I think that completely makes sense to me. It makes sense to everybody. I don't think you can find somebody who says that's a bad thing. But I couldn't wrap my brain around why it's so important to have all these government employees being able to talk to each other about what they do. You know, for me, it was, why don't you just do it? Why are we telling everybody about what we're doing? And I think, Andrew, that's a phenomenal example of being able to reach the right person, if you're assuming you're all connected, right? Because isn't part of the problem today getting everybody connected?
Yeah, I mean, I'll let Amanda chime in here, too, in a second. But so if 35,000 is the current number of members on GovLoop, that really only scratches the surface. I mean, federal is 2 million, and then what is, you know, if you add
state and local,
it's like another 40, 50 million people. And then when you add international, which we have a significant international presence, but, I mean, this is so early on in the adoption stage that there's just so much room to grow here. I think there's just huge potential here. I'll let Amanda say something.
And you're right. It is a change in culture and a change in the way that we conduct business. So often, you know, you have a chat window on your screen and you send 10 emails, and how easy is it to walk down the hallway and resolve something in 10
right.
seconds?
Right. That's where I'm at.
You know, but not everyone has that pleasure of having a close work environment. At USDA, we have over 100,000 employees spread worldwide. We can't just walk down the hall and talk to the folks that we need to. So I think for social networks and having a social space is critical for government, because, you know, it's easy to really get entrenched in your work and think that you might be going it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And just to, you know, put out a question and say, hey, I'm having this challenge, especially in the world of new media or social media. We're all learning about this together, which is great that we don't have to make the same mistakes over and over. You know, we always talk about failing fast, you know, starting small, identifying your objectives, and if it doesn't work, you can tweak it and hopefully share that information with others so the government as a whole, not even your particular agency or department or area of focus, but you can share that information to help the movement really catch on and demonstrate that value, because that's what it comes down to, especially with leadership, which I might add, you keep saying that age kind of takes you out of the social equation, but I found quite the opposite. Some of our strongest supporters are not individuals, you know, 20 to 30 years old, which is really inspiring to see.
And you know, Amanda, I, in getting ready for the show, I had read some information on the World Wide Web, so I'm not that you know, disconnected from web 1.0 and 2.0, and I can almost talk the lingo, but I was reading that there have been these studies conducted, which I think is quite progressive for our government, that there have been these studies conducted recently of use of social media inside the government contractors, and the statistics are showing that the government contractors are more inclined. I think, you know, somewhere, government agencies, somewhere around 40% usage, and government contractors was like 10 or 20% higher. And that when they surveyed the executives at companies and the government, both agreed, there was an agreement at that level of the importance of social media. It was, how do you sort of change the culture inside the government and the barriers to social media? So I did see that. I did see that the executive core was very interested in bringing social media into the business of the agencies.
Yeah, and I think it just takes one really key illustration that shows people the value. We can talk about the value and what it contributes and enriches the work environment all day long. But when you can show that case study, that small win to, you know, the top of an organization to a person in the field who might be completely disconnected from headquarters where many things might happen. I mean, once that light bulb goes off and you have the aha moment, it's really easy to then take social media into further applications. And what I tell people who might be a bit social averse is to, you know, not...
Because it doesn't sound like work. I think
right.
You need to change the word. I like Andrew's word.
Yeah.
He called it knowledge media.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something, Andrew.
And that is key because the word social scares some people. So the way in which we talk about social media should be tailored for this specific audience. You know, we use knowledge base and new media as ways to kind of deal with that initial knee-jerk reaction to, whoa, what is this, face-based, my book, you know, it's the things that my kids do, and you have this initial aversion to using it.
And Amanda, you know, some of the, you know, if you go on USDA's website, which is so, it is so action-packed and information-packed, that really just tells part of the story of what you and your office is doing in web communications, because that's all the social media outward. Give our listeners a sense of what you've brought, what USDA has done recently to increase the social media that they engage in, both with the public and then internally with USDA is composed of 17 agencies.
Yeah, we have a pretty large footprint. And one of the joys for me, especially coming from a press background, has been the evolution of the USDA's blog. Had very humble beginnings a little over a year ago, and we started small. But we put out the call to our field offices, you know, rural development and farm services agency, and all these folks who do great work in the field, and they have the direct connection with the public. You know, people in their communities know them by name, not necessarily as the government guy in D.C. So we wanted those stories to really tell the story about what the Department of Agriculture does in supporting this great nation. And there are so many of those that, you know, when we get blog posts from the field and it appears on the USDA blog, it's really exciting to see
it. It has to be
it.
Fun.
It is. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, you go home and you put it on your refrigerator. And it gets offices really excited and have a great sense of pride in what they do, because they see that other folks who may not, you know, ever be exposed to these types of stories or even be aware that USDA has these types of programs available, that it starts spreading and people appreciate the stories and acknowledge the hard work.
And so that's blogs that the USDA posts on their website. Internally, what kind of social media is USDA doing inside the department?
We're definitely working on some things through our cultural transformation effort to really be a more efficient and transformational kind of body. So we're getting there, and it is. It is a challenge and a great opportunity to bring together a geographically dispersed workforce. So I'm excited for what's coming ahead.
Now, Andrew, we told everybody that you used to be at USDA. You're now with GovLoop. For our listeners who might be new to hearing what GovLoop is, it is not a part of the government, but it's for government employees. So what's the philosophy there? What's the theory, Andrew, about how GovLoop will service the missions of federal and state and local government agencies? What's the theory behind that?
So our mission is to connect government to improve government. So, you know, it's one part water cooler, one part boardroom, right? So as people are doing their jobs, they have questions. And, you know, where can they turn? I've mentioned this earlier, I think, in the show. And you know, we hope that they think of us like they think of Google for conducting a search online, right? You know, I have a question on the job, where am I going to go? You know, I could Google it, but I could also then just go to GovLoop and GovLoop it. My goal is that GovLoop eventually becomes a verb for many government employees insofar as they just know, hey, I can go there and within an hour I can get two or three people to respond to my question. The other thing is it's not just being able to ask questions, but it's Amanda being able to post information about her initiatives. When they first did the, I think it was it Let's Move that we featured as the project of the week, Amanda? It was
Apps for Healthy Kids.
Apps for Healthy Kids. That's what it was. So I knew it was one of. You have several great initiatives, but it was Apps for Healthy Kids. We featured it as project of the week. You know, other agencies can read that and learn about what Amanda did, or at least then find her and be able to communicate with her directly and get some lessons learned, and then be able to accelerate their time to adoption. Now, on the state and local level, obviously we have groups like MuniGov 2.0, and we have some regional areas, municipalities, counties, regions, who have set up groups specifically to be able to communicate about the issues that are unique to their geographic area. So, yeah, I could go on and on with examples, but I think that's really the philosophy is that's the boardroom element, and then the social is sometimes you just need to be able to kick back and talk to other people who kind of get it. You know, there's a lot of negative press about government right now, and so it's nice to just be around other people who know, hey, we're working hard, we're doing our best, and, they're patting one another on the back in many ways, and there are citizens and there are private contractors and academics and nonprofit good government orgs who are there, too, affirming their great work and saying, look, ignore all of that. We know that you're, and to use the word that Steve always uses, awesome.
And, GovLoop is another completely action-packed website. And I do, Andrew, want you to explain to our listeners what all the different, there's so many things on there to offer people who want to join GovLoop, how to join, what you get out of it. And I want to have you share that with our listeners, but we need to take our mid-show break. So, Andrew, hold that when we come back. We have to stop here and hear a word from our sponsor. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now, a word from our good friends at GEICO, where you could save 15% on car insurance.
When you say that you work for the federal government, many people out there immediately picture you wearing a suit, driving a government-issue sedan, and living in D.C., while that may be true for some, in reality, federal employees have a wider variety of jobs than most people could ever imagine, from postal workers to CIA agents, from working in an office to working in outer space. These jobs are all so different that it's hard to believe they have something in common, but they do. And that similarity is GEICO. As employees of the federal government, many of these people may be eligible for additional discounts on top of GEICO's already low rates. And just because the cost is lower doesn't mean that GEICO's service is anything less than top rate. So whether you're in animal control or air traffic control, call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO. Or go online to geico.com and find out how much you could save.
I'm Bill Bransford, host of Fed Talk and partner at the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Fed Talk brings you inside information on hot topics in the federal community. From the halls of Congress to federal agencies, get the latest on the laws, regulations, and activities that directly impact federal employees. Tune into Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, as we bring in the experts to bring you inside the issues.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth, and I'm hosting the show this morning with two guests who are with us by phone, and I think they are probably the two best individuals we could find to talk about social media in the federal government. We have Andrew Kurzmarzik, who's with GovLoop, and we have Amanda Emick, who is the Director of Web Communications at USDA. And before our mid-show break, I had asked Andrew to tee up for us after the break, what is GovLoop? What are all the different things you can do on it? How do you join? How do you use it?
All right. Well, we'll just start from the user experience. To join, it's free and it's really simple. You just go to govloop.com And there's a little button in a couple different places on the site where it says sign up. So you just hit that, and you have to provide some minimal information, name, email, and birth date. And the birth date is because of the Children's Online Protection Act. A lot of people ask this, why do I have to provide my birth date? It's so that we know you're over 13.
Right.
So then you do that, and we then moderate all of the members. So we take a look, and we make sure that you really are human, and they're not just a spammer, so we can protect the community from nefarious guests. And so we approve people, and away you go. And we then have a getting started guide that has some videos and some PDFs on sort of how do you set up a blog, how do you start a group, how do you find groups, you know, what's the difference between blogs and forums, and what do you post where, and we have some engagement guidelines. And so I'd say that's really the first step for people. And then once you really want to dig in, you know, we have, again, I've mentioned blogs, groups, forums, people to ask questions. We have a very active jobs section where people are posting and learning about jobs. But probably some of the more fun stuff are video sharing. We have some presentations that people have uploaded there, and some podcasts from, for instance, Gov2O Radio. But my favorite is recently we created a per diem calculator.
Wow.
Which is different from just being able to find out, you know, basically what you get for your M&IE, right? This is a really slick, cool calculator where you plug in the destination of your travel, and we've tied it in with Yelp so that you can get feedback on what restaurants you could go to that would be within your per diem. What are the cool places where you might be able to experience the nightlife in that city? And then also we have a little tab where you can click and find other GovLoop members who are in that area so that we can facilitate people connecting with other Govies from across the country. So
I'm overwhelmed by that one. That one, Andrew, is overwhelming.
Oh, yeah?
And I must tell you, the people in the studio are all listening to that, and we're all looking at each other. It's just incredible to me. I'm so fascinated with how people now are so, their minds are so freed up to bring different kinds of information sources together in one place and use it as an information sharing. And that's really, that is one-stop shopping for government travel, right? It's part of, for anybody who travels for business, just like when you travel for pleasure, you need a place to stay. You want to figure out how much it's going to cost. You obviously know you have to go out to eat, right?
Yep.
And wouldn't it be nice if you could, you know, have a little bit of social time with people who were like you and, or that, you know, you found the same interest. And that to me is really an incredible feature you've brought together, in GovLoop. Kudos.
We have some other ones that we're going to roll out eventually, too, but I'm not going to share them too much. We don't want anybody to steal our ideas.
State secret.
Right? But they're going to be sort of, what are the most trafficked sites? You know, what are the things that people do most as government employees, really what we're asking, and how can we make that a cool experience for them? So I wanted to highlight that, and then one other quick thing that's similar, but it's, so we have some data sets. That's at data.govloop.com. What we've tried to do is, you know, for instance, we've taken all of the open government directive plans from all of the agencies, put them in one place for people to be able to find those and review them quickly. We have all of the government-related Twitter hashtags in the directory, all of the, to the degree that we know what are out there, we have all of the sort of Web 2.0 or Gov 2.0 governance policies. You know, and so there are scores of those, you know, list of apps contests, et cetera. You know, so we put together these data sets so people can quickly find the information they need. So it's sort of one part, helpful information, but also one part helping you to have fun while you're on the job and do it more effectively and easier.
Yeah, and so, you know, I sort of become concerned, like, if I were the employer, I become concerned, how will you ever get your employees off of GovLoop? It's so packed with fascinating information. And Andrew, you say you have 30,000, is it members? What do you call them?
Yep, 35,000 members. Just crossed that threshold when Steve joined forces with GovDelivery a year ago. We were at 20,000. So that date was September 28th a year ago. We were about 20,000. So we're pretty excited about that growth, and it just continues to, you know, grow every day.
And is the growth a factor of just sort of the phenomenon of people telling people, or is GovLoop have some sort of plan, a plan to get the word out that we can help you with?
You know, we have several different strategies that we try to be at a lot of the key events that are going on, so that people can learn about us, both speaking and then just at booths or tables. We're trying to partner more with traditional media sources. We feel like they're always looking for good content, and we tend to have that. So, for instance, with GovExec, we've been sending them a burning question every week. That's kind of fun, gives them some cool content, but that also tends to raise awareness about GovLoop, and we get new members from that. And so there's a couple of the ways. And then we have a regular email that we send out. We have actually a few that we're sending out now at this point, and I'm sure people, on the days when we send out that email, we're seeing additional members, because I'm sure people are sort of forwarding something and saying, hey, you have to check this out. So those are two or three ways.
When I hear everything that GovLoop's doing, I say, Amanda, how do you keep up with that? You know, inside the agencies, right? When you think of the challenges of creating social media in these big agencies, big departments like USDA, clearly there have to be challenge when you hear what GovLoop's doing, private sector, there have to be these challenges that face an agency that wants to get into social media. And some of the obvious ones are, technology and staffing, time and money. How can you give us some insight how your department has dealt with some of those challenges?
Yeah, for us, it always starts with the mission, as I think it should for any organization of any size. At first, there might be an appeal to do something because it's available and, hey, the technology is free, but social media is free like a puppy is free, right? You have to walk it. You have to take care of it. There will be accidents you have to clean up. So, it takes good oversight and good training to have a really good program. And we're fortunate at USDA to really have ingrained an and also approach. So the use of new media isn't and or. So we're not going to engage the media or do traditional outreach as we have in the past. We're also going to do the social. So it's really an integrated communication strategy we have that I feel delivers a more comprehensive program and therefore better service to the public. We work weekly with all of our public affairs directors across all of our agencies. So we have coordinated messages, and we're not, fighting for the same audience.
Mm-hmm.
And we're strategic about what tools and what spaces we move into, understanding that you can't drink the whole ocean, that you really have to pick and choose based on your mission and based on your strategic goals which efforts you want to pursue. One of our flagship initiatives with the Open Gov Directive, the Forest Service Planning Rule, is a massive effort that happens every few years to direct the use of public lands. And it's this, intense bureaucratic process to come up with this very important rule. And for the first time, in addition to going through, of course, the official and required process, we're opening it up to the public and bringing them in from the beginning to get their feedback and hopefully create a more accurate rule in what people think we should be doing with land. So it's more engaging the public and creating those platforms that we talk about to bring new stakeholders to the table. So it's really, the coordination and the strategy is so critical. Once you commit to paper, what your specific goals and objectives are, the tactics you'll use to achieve those, I make people write down the names of the people who will be overseeing these efforts, because unless you articulate it, it probably won't happen. I'm a list person, so once I write it down, it will happen. And I, try to get others to think the same way, that I want to know that Joe is going to be, submitting these blogs every week. And I have his phone number, so I can call.
You know where to find him?
Comes up. Oh, yeah.
So I when I think about the massive effort of social media that you've brought to the department and that you manage, there must be, you know, that come to mind, your top three challenges that you in the job or the department or groups of different employees had to face in bringing that kind of quantum and qualitative social media to your department? Can you give us some insight on what some of those challenges have been for our listeners who might be working at agencies thinking about creating a job like yours or have a job like yours?
Yeah, I think this sounds counterintuitive, but to somewhat harness enthusiasm, I see this a lot with people who are new to the government, and it's not that you should be restrained in any way, but to take the time to think through the entire life cycle of a process and what starting a social media program, what implications it has. They will be positive, but there are things that, you know, as a responsible manager that you have to think about. So taking the time and stepping back and looking at the big picture to see how the use of social media can enhance your overall effort, but also, you know, making sure that you bring all the relevant parties to the table. I am now great friends with our general counsel team. whenever I saw OGC, I said, "Oh, we've done something wrong." But, you know, now they're sending me articles when they see news in the field about social media advancements, and we have a very great relationship with our Office of the Chief Information Officer because, you know, without the tool or the platform, you might not be able to move the message, but without the message, then the platform is useless.
Now, we have to take our final break of the show, and so when we come back, Andrew and Amanda will have about 10 or 12 minutes to wrap up, and some of the things that I just wanted to preview for our listeners that we want to talk about are sort of the training that clearly there's the issue of training people to use it, to start it, and if you, the two of you were going to give advice to agencies on how to start a social media program, what would be the tips you'd give them so people wouldn't necessarily have to go through some of the, mistakes, lessons learned that a department of the size of USDA might have. But as I said, we need to take our final break of the show and hear a word from our sponsor. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now, a word from our good friends at GEICO, where you could save 15% on car insurance. By now, you've no doubt seen those car insurance commercials with the talking gecko on TV. He's always talking about how people could save 15% or more switching to GEICO. Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal in and of itself. But get this. If you're an employee of the federal government, you may be eligible to save even more than that. That's something the gecko didn't mention in all those commercials. And you've probably heard many times about how many people have switched to GEICO. Millions. But what you might not know is how many people stay with GEICO once they've switched. In fact, on average, GEICO customers who are federal employees have stayed with the company for over 20 years. Now that's customer satisfaction. Sound like a good deal to you? Then just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or go online to geico.com and find out how much you could save.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth, your host for today's show, and you're in the final segment of our show. We're talking about social media in the federal government, in and around the federal government, because we are talking with Andrew Kurzmarzik of GovLoop and Amanda Emick, who is the Director of Web Communication at USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture. And we have about 10 or 11 minutes left in our show, and I thought that we'd sort of wrap up our show with the sort of how do you put it in place, because it's so fascinating. And I think both of your websites, I could get lost in both of your websites for like an hour each, just like never surface, you know. That doesn't necessarily make for the most productive of employees. But I know, Andrew, isn't GovLoop doing a big training push?
We hosted the second training webinar yesterday. It was sponsored by Microsoft, and we spent an hour and we talked about basically there was the first of two parts. The first was yesterday, then the second one is next Thursday, October 14th. But we had Andrew Wilson of SAMHSA, Carol Spencer of Morris County, New Jersey, and Mark Drapo, Cheeky Geeky.
What was that?
Microsoft. His Twitter name is Cheeky_Geeky.
Okay.
On Twitter. But anyway, so they covered the basics, and then next week we'll sort of pick up from there. But we had, I think, 450 registrants or something like that. So it was just excellent numbers. So people had like 60 questions. So we know that we've tapped something here, and it really just plays on a blog post that I posted this week, which was What Gov2o Needs Now, Managers, Money, and Models. And Jeffrey Levy of EPA chimed in and said, quote, "I think education is still the number one barrier. Specifically, how can my office program unit do this stuff?"
And is that Andrew, is that what the training? Tell me again exactly what the webinar is. What kind of training are they offering? Is it how to start it, how to manage it, what tools you need? What exactly is the content?
All of the above. It's social media, the what, why, how, who, when, you know, and so it's just that it's that in two parts, really. So yesterday, you know, Carol talked about her specific challenges and some of the things that they're implementing on a county level. And then Andrew Wilson talked about it in terms of some of these things that we've talked about today, the challenges to adoption, how he's overcome those. And then Mark provided a more global perspective and offered some sort of not so obvious ways that you can use some of the tools.
Now, that was yesterday, right?
Yes.
And the follow-up is when?
Next Thursday, October. I'm on GovLoop right now, and I'm going to go and
the 14th?
The events. It's the 14th, and I want to just make sure I get the time right here. It's at 2 o'clock, so it'll be from 2 to 3.
2 Eastern.
It's called Social Media, Why It Matters, and How to Do It.
And I imagine in order to participate in the webinar, you have to be a member of GovLoop?
You don't, actually. Anybody can sign up.
You should have, Andrew, you should have said you had to.
But,
oh, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to be dishonest. We'd love to have more members, but anybody is free to join us without being a member. And we feel like that's important, too. I mean, this is critical right now. This is what the community needs, so we want to provide that, and it's free too. So that's another key part of it all.
And you know, one of the things that came to my mind, and I was reading something, a news article, and it was talking about. Did I get this right, Amanda? FedSpace at GSA. Have you heard of them?
Yeah.
It's GSA's social media, and one of the things I think that I took away from. And I'd be curious to hear what the two of you have to say that I took away from reading about GSA's pushes. You know, for our listeners who might not really appreciate the full mission of GSA, you know, they're the central, or at least they were in the old days, they're the central repository of where you get, you know, your goods and services. And it was, you know, in some sense, it brought a uniform procurement system to this huge buyer of goods and services, the federal government. And so what I was reading about FedSpace, you know, it occurred to me, and something about what GSA is doing with their social media called FedSpace, is the issue of uniformity. And I'm sort of curious what the two of you think. Do you think we need uniformity in the kinds of social media that the government uses, or is that the antithesis of what social media really is about?
Well, I'll take a first stab at this, and I'm glad you brought up GSA, because Bev Godwin and other folks over there should really be applauded for the work that they've done in helping others within government achieve goals related to social media. And it is important for some uniformity, especially when you're thinking about terms of service agreements. And the first steps of really jumping into a specific social media space that our lawyers have to review, and what every individual might click for their Facebook page with the "I agree to the terms and conditions" has to be negotiated and appropriate for federal government.
Yeah.
So they've helped by creating that uniform federal terms of service agreement for specific tools. They've really reduced the barriers to entry from our standpoint, so we can get into them a little bit quicker.
And Andrea, what's your thoughts on this issue, the idea of, because I think, you know, Amanda obviously makes a very good point. It's a narrow one, though, about,
yeah,
you know, having sort of the baseline, some of the contractual rules. That makes perfect sense to me for for establishing your social media sites that you, where people are joining, that you would want sort of uniform set of rules for joining and membership. But other than that, do we see a need for uniformity? Or is it, is that the antithesis really of what social media is all about, to be, you know, to create, it's an idea place and ideas aren't uniform?
Yeah, so I just want to echo what Amanda said about the team over, if there's a dream team in government right now, they've assembled it over at GSA. I mean,
in FedSpace?
Well, some folks that were detailed to be working on FedSpace initially, but there's a team of folks over there under Bev Godwin that are doing some amazing things. If you could assemble some of the rock stars in one place, they would be it. So I just want to echo that applause for them and their great work.
What is it they're doing over there? Because you're both applauding them.
Well, so is that? That might be, this might be coming out of another shop over there, but I think essentially, when you're talking about uniformity, what I'm thinking of is apps.gov, which is the fact that GSA has gone to a lot of these social media providers, these open source software companies, and have said, look, we want to be able to use this, but we have unique and peculiar requirements. So can we agree on a certain set of terms of service that might differ from your general terms of service agreements so that agencies can feel comfortable using this? I think I'm in many ways echoing what Amanda just said, but apps.gov then becomes that go-to central repository of, hey, these are sort of approved places where, we've done all that work on your behalf. And so rather than it being uniformity, I really see it as ease of use, and also if people are hesitant and fearful to adoption, they know that this stuff has been vetted, if you will, and so they can feel comfortable using it.
I would also jump in and add one other thing that's a more recent development is challenge.gov. I mean, creating a space where every federal agency can reach out to a community of solvers with specific challenges.
What is challenge.gov, Amanda?
It's a platform that, again, is the great work of GSA, where you can go now and find scores of competitions that are ready for you to help solve. It could be, we have another one, Recipes for Healthy Kids. NASA has a bunch in there, as do pretty much every department. And it's creating that community where interested citizens can come and see if there's an issue that's near and dear to their heart and have something to offer. So we're coming together and building a community within and outside of government to address very serious issues, and some that are a lot of fun, too.
So, you know, Amanda, right before that last break we took, I had asked you if you could come up with a tickler list of little tidbits of advice for people who might want in their own agencies to sort of start doing what's really rocking and rolling over at USDA. You have about 2 minutes. Any pointers?
Well, definitely use available resources. GSA and the Web Content Forum, they have a great repository of guidelines, fact sheets, and also the Social Media Sub-Council, which is a collection of guidelines, best practices, experience from public and private sectors. But also ask for help. Support is likely in the places that you are least likely to see it search. So put out a call on Twitter or send out an email. But also manage expectations when you jump into something. I think it's important for people to say exactly what it is you're trying to achieve. And then when you've achieved those, celebrate the successes. You know, don't be afraid to wave the flag and show the great work that we do, because that's not only, I think, good for recruitment purposes, but it's really important to show people how we're making a difference in communities. But identify the high-value opportunities within your organizations that people want. You know, we provide the farmers market database because we know people want to be able to find where they can get fresh local food. And Foursquare has made a healthy eating badge along with CNN, so you can check into farmers markets, and that's data provided by the government, and you can get your healthy eating badge this weekend.
Well, I want to thank the both of you, Andrew and Amanda, for being on our show. I feel like we'll be talking again to you in a year and just seeing how what the two of you has exploded into new and amazing, you know, information sharing. I want to thank the both of you for being with us today. I hope you enjoyed yourselves.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, thank you.